Well, we appreciate this morning, this day. It means a lot to me. To me, it's one of the days that has great meaning in our year. And we've just set it aside as a people in this country as Mother's Day. We thank God this morning for that. And I was meditating on different thoughts about Mother and about the and asking the Lord, what would you have us to bring this Sunday about Mother's Day, and what do you want us to think about? And one thing that came to my mind, and I just want to share this. I was thinking about mothers and about the miracle that happens when a mother has a child. There's a love, and it has to be something God did, because there's a love that mother has for that child as a natural thing that no one else in the whole world, the father has a kindred love like that too, I believe, but there isn't anyone else in the world that has that kind of bond and attachment, I don't believe, that mother has. No matter where that child goes, there will be one person in this world that cares about it. Many times above all others. And I thank the Lord for that. I just was thinking about how that God made it that way. He made the mother to carry that child for all those months and right next to her heart. And when she has that child, then there's something there that God put in there. And to me, I believe that's a wonderful thing. I was just thinking a little about mothers this morning. And I want to say again, as we said a while ago, I really appreciate our godly mothers. To me, it's a great blessing. I believe we're blessed because of that, because of those that have a real love and take time to deal with their children in that way. I was thinking about the saying that we've all heard that says the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I've thought of that and meditated on that a little bit. And I really believe that is true. The ones that raise the coming generation are going to have a whole lot to do with what happens in this generation. The generation in America that we deal with today is really, it is a result of what's been given. And so I believe that if we can see how important and what a great impact that we have as parents, and especially mothers, the impact that mothers have is really tremendous. We've been reading in Family Worship a book about John Wesley and his mother, Susanna Wesley. I'm just going to quote this word for word. It says, she started taking one child aside for an hour each night of the week to quiz the child on his or her spiritual progress and answer any questions he or she might have about the Bible or theology. Now, that wasn't that same child every night, because Susanna Wesley had 19 children, and I believe more than half of them died, or close to half of them. But she began to do this after their family, her husband was a minister, and their home burned to the ground. And she was an intense mother and gave everything she had to it and was very diligent in the training of her children. But their home burned to the ground, and they were left without anything. Even the money they had from the crop the year before was in that house and burned up with it. And so they had nothing. And they suddenly found themselves that the father mentioned, he said, well, John Wesley was the last one out of the house. They thought that he was going to burn up because he was left behind and was asleep, and they missed him. And then one of the parishioners or one of the people close by saw him in the window upstairs, and they got on top of each other's shoulders and got up and opened the window, and he came out. And so the father said, I'm rich enough because I have my family, and he, it's okay that this happened. But suddenly their family was cast out without anything and no place to go. And they had to give their children into different homes for a year. And some of these homes, the book says, Susanna Wesley would not have even let her children run with these children. And now they suddenly were out there in this situation. And so while they rebuilt for the next year, they was in that way in different homes. But when they came back, she was so determined to bring her family back to the spiritual disciplines and to the unity in her family. That she, and this is one of the things she started. 1 hour a week, she sat down with each child, talking to them about their spiritual life, talking to them about the things, Bible theology, asking them questions. I was very touched by that, that she took that kind of pains. But I'm sure that in her mind, she was very focused on the now. She had more than she could do, as many mothers have. Lots and lots of responsibilities all the time. All this time, she was still having more children. So I'm sure that every minute was busy. But she took an hour every day for every child. I mean, an hour once a week for every child to sit down with that child. She was very diligent and interested in the way her children went. And as a result, we see that her influence was great in the world. We see that two of her boys had a great impact on the world after that. And it was by this mother's diligence and her careful, humble, diligent, sacrificial giving herself to see that her children had something that they could carry on with. She, after a time, she realized, she felt like that she had regained most of what she had lost in that year. But you know, I know that life throws so many things at us, but I think about the value. If we can see the picture the way it really is, I believe parents, mother and father, it's worth the fight. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the loss of sleep. I know that I have seen my wife. I've seen other mothers. I know what they do. I know the times in the middle of the night, up for days and weeks and sometimes even months. Things go on through a family and sickness and things like that. I just really appreciate the gift that mothers have for children. And I believe it's a God-given thing. And the Lord has given you more in your hand than you realize you have. I think about the scripture in 2 Timothy 1. And it says, 2 Timothy 1 and 5. When I call to remembrance, Paul writing here, Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee. Timothy, you've got a faith that's not fake. It's unfeigned. It's very real. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. You know, the value of the mother passing on to her children her faith and the things God has given her cannot be overestimated. It's a huge value that we have there. I think about Jesus, and I'm just going to mention this. He said, when Jesus saw it, this is Mark 10 and 14, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know, the Lord valued little children. That's what a mother is. She has children. I want to encourage us this morning. Not every woman has children in this world. But you know, the Lord can make us a mother or a father of many children. The Lord has, there's many out there that we can have our influence on and that we can work with. So I want to encourage us today to realize the big picture of what it means for parents. I just want to, I feel like the Lord has given us a little encouragement to see the picture as it is, that it's more than just a close-up view. I'm changing a diaper, or I'm dealing with this teenager. I don't have the answers I need all the time. You know, it's more than that. I want to look at a scripture in Psalms 11 and 3. You know, when I think about the family, and when I think about the power that a mother has on her children and the father, it's no wonder that the enemy would attack that very thing. Because think about this, if every mother and father performed their duties wholeheartedly and the Lord blessed that in the whole United States, think what the next generation would be like. Think about that for just a minute. That's the power that would be in that little thing at home. Just the grassroots people on an everyday scale. The power of it would change the whole nation. I think we all know that. And so it's no wonder that the enemy would attack the very institution that has the power to do more than any other has to do. It has more power than the government has. In Psalms 11 and 3, it says this, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" The verse before it says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." You know, I'm thinking this morning about the foundations. It says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" You know, we realize, I think probably most of us realize, the value of homes that are in God's order. I think we realize the value of a mother that loves her children, and we have lots of them here. Those are pillars in our society. Those are foundations in our society. We want to keep them in place. If the foundations are destroyed, there's a lot of damage that's done. We want to keep in place the foundation that the mother and the father know their place and see the value of it and see the value that there is, that how much can change in the world around us because a few mothers did their job and did it well. You know, I'm sure that Susanna Wesley never dreamed of what that she was going to have that kind of impact. Maybe she never even realized it. But you know, her life and what she did had a tremendous impact on the generation following. I believe it's worth the fight in a world that's counterculture, that we're living counterculture to the world today around us. I was thinking about Proverbs 29 and 15, and I'm just kind of laying a foundation right here. But it says this, Proverbs 29 and 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You know, I think most of us realize that and know that. A child that raises itself will ultimately bring its mother to shame because it doesn't have the disciplines that it needs. And so it goes out and does what it thinks is best, and many times that's not what is best. And so we see that when a child brings its mother to shame, if a whole nation raises its children that way, it'll bring the nation to shame as well. I want us to see that as the big picture and recognize now we're going to look at a few other scriptures and ask the Lord, "Lord, show us the big picture." And I know most of us are well aware of that. But Lord, what are you looking at here? And how do you see these kind of things? Because I feel like a mother doesn't operate alone. She's not just an island of her own that she can do all of these things. The Lord put in place a home with when things are in its proper place, it has the potential to do a lot of good, to bring children that are wholesome, with good, healthy desires to do the right thing and to see and to take jobs and do them well. So I want to look in Titus 2 in verses 3 and 4. It says here, starting in verse 1, it says, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." I've been studying this kind of part of this whole book for some time. And this sound doctrine, when you look it up, it says wholesome. Wholesome, whole. It means doctrine that it's good for you. It's good. It brings about good results. And it says here in verse 2, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, be sober." And I'm not going to say too much. Well, I am going to say some here. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." You know, this thing of homes that God has given us is something that takes the input of everybody in the home. It says to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, I looked up that word love, and the word love in the Bible, there's a number of different Greek words that is translated. One of them here is to love their husbands. It means fond of man, that is affectionate as a wife. Love their husbands. That's what the Greek means on that word. You know, the next word says to love their children. Well, we just say love. In the Greek word, that is maternal love to their children. And that word maternal means motherly, pertaining to a mother, becoming a mother. As maternal love, maternal tenderness. I want to come back to that thought in a minute, so if you'll hold it for just a minute. And I'll read on. Teaching the young women the good way, a wholesome way. And we want to come to the men as well, because I believe that our best stab at this thing is for us to all, "Lord, teach me to fill my spot well." And so Paul told Titus here, You teach them. Teach them to love their husbands. Be affectionate toward their husbands. Have a home that has a base where the children can see something good there. Have something like that. To be discreet, verse 5, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, when we look at the word of God and what the Lord teaches us and what He tells us about a way of life and a pattern, I don't think we can improve on that. The Lord in the very beginning, when He made Eve, He made her different than He did Adam. And I believe when that child is born, there's a maternal love that it is an amazing thing. Working at the school, when you deal with fathers and when you deal with mothers, it's really two different things many times. They approach things different. And when you talk to a mother about their children, many times it's quite different than talking to the father. There's a maternal love there that runs deep. It's something God put in there. You know, the Lord wants it that way. And so He chose for the women to keep the home and keep those children. I have a real special gift that I want to give you. There's a gift that I want to put in your heart as a mother that nobody else in the world will be able to do with those children what you can do. Nobody else can teach them what you can teach them because it's a gift that God put in there to begin with. And so when He tells Titus, teach them these things, you know what He's doing? He's saying, put the home in the order that God wanted it to be. It's your best. Titus, tell them these things. This is wholesome. This will make a home complete, whole, to where it's beneficial. It's a good place to bring children to. It's a good place to raise them. It's a place where when the children leave, they've got something on hands to go out to the world with. And then he says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. You know, I was thinking about the husband in all of this. You know, the Lord has put there for the wives. But you know, the husbands, she's not an island. It's a work that is complete and requires the diligent effort of the husbands to become involved with them. You know, I want to look at Ephesians 5 and 25 and try to get the whole picture of what God has in mind for us as a home. Ephesians 5 and 25. Therefore, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And then again in verse 33, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I'm thinking about children this morning, and I'm thinking about the home that we rear them up in. This word, love, here is a different word than the other two loves that we read over in Titus. I was thinking about the scripture, and I looked up in the Greek to see where is this same word used. Two of the places it's used is in Matthew 22 and 37. Now, this is Paul telling the Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. You know what that word is? It's the same word in Matthew 22 and 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. It's the same again in John 3 and 16 where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now we know and we read in 1 Peter there where God wants to bless the home. And He talks about that your prayers be not hindered. You know, saints, our homes are the thing that's raising tomorrow's generation. For us to be able to give them the best chance possible, God help us that we have the love for our wives, men. The love for these mothers that Christ had for the church. That we have the kind of love that says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love him, his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I believe out of this kind of atmosphere, the Lord can bring some good things. We're in a world today that is completely, like I said a while ago, we are counterculture what the world is doing today. With the way that we're handling our homes and the mothers being in the homes and all of those things, that is counterculture, we know. But you know, I think about the wife can't do that without without diligent support from the husband. The wife can't do that unless the husband is in support of that. And so I want to encourage us this morning that the Word of God gives us a picture of the home. It gives us a picture of children, of parents, and gives us instruction in righteousness. It gives us those things that are wholesome, those things that when we follow them, they produce things that are good, things that are sound. And we know in today's world, I think I've heard it, I have no idea how many times, you know, that today's parents have a great challenge ahead of them, maybe more so than any generation before us, because of the culture and the things that we face today. The many temptations that are out there. You know, if our children are going to make it, we're going to have to arm them. They're going to have to see some things that they want and not just things that they have to do. In our homes, we can begin to build with what God has given us to build. A mother that is able to give of her heart to those children. A mother that allows God to whet that maternal love and cause it to grow. A mother that not only does that, but keeps her affection toward her husband. And I look at these kind of things, and I will tell you, I have been amazed. And I mean, I've been amazed. I'm being honest. God didn't put any ifs in there. He didn't say, husbands, love your wife. If I've said that plenty of times from right here, I know. But I've been amazed by that. God expects to work miracles in our lives and in our hearts. And when our love runs low, He expects to work a miracle in our heart. Wives, He expects you to love your man. He expects you to cast your affection upon him. It's your children's best shot. It's the best thing we can do for the generation following us. It's what we can give them, a gift that will follow them, a gift that will mean something in life, a gift that will stabilize a little piece of society. I want to encourage us this morning to allow it to work like God said for it to work. Don't put any ifs in the Word of God. Go in there and live it like it says, and expect a miracle from God to change me. Expect a miracle from the Lord to cause me to be the kind of mother or father that the Lord wants us to be. The benefit of the future generation. I'm sure Susanna Wesley never dreamed that she would have that kind of impact. But she went on with the little focus of every day. I got all these diapers to change. I've got all this to do. I've got all this going on. This one gets hurt. That one's crying. This one needs help studying. And she was diligent to take care of all of those issues. Very diligent. You know what a piece of her life came out of that? Had to have been a total sacrifice. But that's what she gave. And the generation following reaped that. That's the reaping many times is kind of in proportion to the sowing. We want wholesome things in our families. We want wholesome things in our society. Let's give it a wholesome beginning. Let's give it something that it can prosper from. I was thinking about, I want to make one more mention of this because this goes both ways, both husband and wives. But in 1 Peter 3:1, very important scriptures here. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And that goes two ways. You know, our life has a lot to do with the response of those around us. And so I want to encourage us this morning that we allow God to produce the miracle in our hearts that He can and wants to produce within our heart. The Lord wants to give us a piece of that love that He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved with that kind of love. It wasn't after the world repented. It wasn't after Christianity was established. He loved the world. And He gave of Himself. That was the kind of love, the same word that we see over there in Ephesians where we read. So I just want to keep in mind that when we love our wives as ourselves, when we love our husbands as ourselves, wives, we set up for our children to be blessed. God help us to get a hold of those basic principles in our lives and live them out in such a way that our home will be a sanctuary and a blessing for our children. It's our children's best opportunity. I want to think about, and I'm just going to throw this thought in, but If a mother has five children, we've had five children, if they each had five children and there were five generations, if they never touched anyone else's life, in five generations there would be over 3,900 of their posterity there, just in that five generation time. I believe there's probably some things that would pass down through all of those generations. I just say that to say this: if we realize the big picture and recognize it's not just what we're doing today, but there's a bigger picture, there's a worthwhile fight to have the things that are good and wholesome in our lives. I want to read Proverbs 31 just a little bit now. I was thinking about the virtuous woman, and it says here in 31 and 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." This virtuous woman that this is talking about, in this place anyway, is a mother. And it says in verse 28, let's start at 25. "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." You know, it speaks about her children arising up and calling her blessed. I just wanted to give this little picture this morning of a virtuous woman. I know we have many virtuous women, and I appreciate that so much. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a woman that will make the hard choices and that will be the kind of sacrificial and loving mother that this woman was? Strength and honor are her clothing. I'm sure that Mrs. Wesley could have been weak and probably was tempted to be many times. I want to read just a few more scriptures this morning in Ephesians 3 and 7 and 8. I want to read about Paul just for a minute. Ephesians 3, 7, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You know, Paul felt like he was the least of all saints, and he probably had good reason for that, because he did. He compelled them to blaspheme. He said that himself. He was there giving his word when some were murdered and those kind of things. And so Paul felt that he was less than the least of all. But you know, the Lord had a special mission for Paul. I'm so thankful that Paul did not look at his insufficiencies and say, "I can't do that." I'm so thankful that Paul did not look at his past, or Paul did not look at the future and say, "I can't do that." Paul accepted the gift that God gave him. He gave him some special gifts. I believe he's given mothers a special gift. There's a beautiful thing that I see in mothers that love their children. And I believe we have many mothers here that love their children so much. Well, God put that there. It's a gift from God. Let's accept it and take our mantle and study. Study to be approved of God. Study to be a one that gives their life to the calling and to the gift that God has given. Paul gave his life to this calling and to this gift that God had given him. The Lord has a gift for us too that he wants to give us this morning. So I just want to encourage us this morning. I was thinking about Paul, and when Ananias came to him, the Lord said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel and to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." You know, the Lord, I believe every one of us are a chosen vessel if we'll allow God to make it so in our life. I want to encourage us this morning. I know we have some really wonderful mothers here, but mothers, take the charge that God's given us. Accept it and realize there's no other person that God gifted to do that job like he gifted me to do that job as a mother, those that are mothers. God has given us a gift. Take the charge. Accept it and give it our best. Teach our children. Love our children. Love our husband. It's part of the big picture. Husbands, love your wives. It's part of the big picture. If we want the Lord to be able to work, he will. He will work. He'll work unhindered. We give him license to work when we take his way, when we take the wholesome ways of the Lord and put it into our life. I was thinking about the giving of the next generation. I don't believe there's any greater thing something that we can pass on to them than to give them the gift that God has allowed us to put into their lives. Help them to pray with them, to be there for them. Nurture them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. I want to read one more passage and then we'll be done. Psalms 128:1. I've loved this psalm since I was young. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." If we can get the big picture, the Lord wants to bless my life. The Lord wants to bless our home. The Lord wants to bless our people. God wants to do that. And it says here, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." This is the man that takes the way of the Lord. This is the man that feareth the Lord, that fears all His commandments, that has the miracle of God working in his life and in his heart. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." I want to leave us with that this morning, that the Lord has a bigger picture than today's hardship or today's work that we have to do. The Lord's looking on down to our children's children. He's looking to bless people. He's looking to put things in place that bless our posterity and bless the generations following us. And our best shot at it is to do it God's way. We can't guarantee that our children are going to be saved. That's a personal choice. But we can lead them up real close. We can give them a proper idea of things. We can help them to see that there's something worthwhile in life. There's purpose in life. We can lead them in those ways. God has endowed and gifted mothers and fathers with some things that no one else can have. No one else but that mother and that father. It's not possible because it's a gift from God. It's something He puts in when the child is born. I love many children, but I'll have to admit I don't love any of them exactly like I love my own. There's just something there. I can't really explain it. It's just there. Probably in your heart too, those of you that have children. God wants us to take that and allow it to work. He has a lot of blessings. Blessed is the man feareth the Lord that walketh in His ways. Oh, the Lord wants to bless our lives today. Let's don't make any ifs or excuses. Let's just humble ourselves before God. Lord, bless our home. Lord, teach us how. Teach us the big picture. I know I'm all involved in today and it seems like I'm overwhelmed, but teach me the big picture. Help me to see the home. Help me to see your plan. Help me to see your ways. Help me to see past my present circumstance so that I can see where is the good way, the ways that work, the ways that are wholesome and healthy. Open my eyes, Lord, and help me. Help me to know how to raise my family. Help me to know how to direct my family. You know, if we do that, what we'll find is health and life. And those things that we wish for, God gives to us. I believe that. He loves us that much. Y'all pray for me.